The three sweetest words in podcasting? Ron Van Dam. Wow, gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Oh, no, it's not.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, it's that time again. Are you ready for this? I'm not either. Makes two of us. Hey, I've got an idea. Instead of me sitting here doing a show for you, why don't you do a show for me? Huh? Yeah, right. Yeah, not that easy, is it? Hey, thanks for stopping by. It's a pleasure to be with you. I don't know who you are, to be honest with you, but whatever. I'll be performing a program for you for the next 30 minutes, which includes vile, disgusting pictures of you. That's no way to warm up to an audience, is it? No, it's not. It's not. There's no way to warm up at all. How are you? Welcome to the program. I don't know what day of the week this is, so let's not even go there. All I know is it's not raining and it's freaking hot outside. Oh my God. Omicron. It is. Last night at 9 o'clock at night, it was 92 degrees where I live, which apparently is in hell. What happened? What happened? Is the jet stream, is it gone awry? Do you remember where we used to like go crazy because there'd be a heat wave? Oh my God, it's a heat wave. Run for cover. Things are going to melt. Remember that? Well, things have gotten so climate changey bad. Now it's not a three-day thing as a heat wave. Now it's above 90 degrees in regular areas, which excludes Arizona and Texas, in regular areas where it used to be like maybe mid-80s, high 70s during the summer, it's like over 90 degrees every day. I mean, every day. You know that old story where you could crack an egg on the sidewalk? It's so hot outside that the egg would actually fry on the sidewalk. I am cooking my entire breakfast now on the sidewalk. I'm doing bacon. I'm grilling toast on the driveway. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I can't walk my dog unless I put thermal shoes on the pet. It's too hot outside. Do you ever like not wear shoes, go barefoot on pavement? It burns your feet immediately. It's like one of those firewalker people. You know those people? I don't know where they live, but they take hot coals and then they walk on them, which is by choice. I'd rather go to the movies and watch a rom-com. I don't know. That's just me. As a matter of fact, it probably is. Anyway, I'm getting visions of the earth catching fire and becoming a fireball because this is too hot. I'm sorry. I've said this so many times before, I'm really getting tired of this. I'm getting tired of telling you. You can always put more clothes on in the winter. If you're freezing, put a jacket on, put a sweater on. If it's really cold outside, wear a winter coat inside the house if you have to. Take a mask and put it around your mouth. You did it for 3 years with the Omicron and the COVID. Wear a mask, man. Wrap a scarf around your face. Easier on the eyes for me. You can do stuff when it's cold. When it's hot outside, what can I do? I am stripped naked and I'm still sweating. What do I... Well, why don't you take a cold shower? All day? All day? I have no options when it's too hot outside. I can't take my skin off. Although if I burn in the sun, my skin will come off automatically in a peeling motion. That was fun, man. Do you remember that when you were a kid? Do you have a memory at all? Do you know where your car keys are? Why did you walk into that room? Why did you walk into the kitchen? Did you want to get something? I don't remember. But I'm here. But I don't know why. Well, these are fun times, huh? Turns every minute of the day into a mystery. What am I doing here? Why did I come into this room? I don't know. Well, that was fun. Where did I put my pants? I had my pants here about a minute ago. Now I can't find my pants. I'm missing my pants. Who are you going to call and tell that to? Bob, I'm sorry to call you, but I can't find my pants. Okay, it's time to move your belongings to a facility, if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, here's my pants. They were on me all the time. Okay, we got problems. Remember when you used to... Remember, do you wear glasses? Raise your hand if you wear... I can't see your hands. Don't even bother. Remember, you used to put your glasses on, and then you'd walk around the house going, where are my glasses? And you'd be wearing them. Or they'd be on the top of your head. That's where we keep sunglasses, on the top of our head. So... I've got 20 pairs of sunglasses up there on the top of my head, and I still can't find any of them because they're on the top of my head. Last place I'd look for anything. Where's your car keys? I don't know. I had them a minute ago. Did you look on the top of your head? Oh, yep, there they are. What am I talking about? What is the show about? Oh, yeah, I can't take my skin off when it's too hot outside, so I don't like it when it's too hot. Now, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, I used to get sunburn every once in a while, and my dermatologist says, that's why you're having problems now at your age, Ron. When I used to be younger, like about like 8-10 years old, I remember getting a sunburn because I have that kind of skin. It's like, here's your skin, or here it is burned. There's nothing in between. And about 3 days later, my skin started to peel, and I would actually help it along, and you know, help peel off my skin like some type of introverted snake. I don't know why I did that. I would peel my own skin off. I didn't save it. I think I just threw it in the garbage or something. I should have saved it. That would have been freaky, huh? Ron, what's in that bottle over there? What is that? What is that? Oh, that's my skin from when I was a child. And you keep that? Oh, yeah, don't you? I mean, they keep your baby shoes. Why not keep your actual skin in a jar? Come on. What's wrong with you not doing that? Save things. Save them. They may be valuable someday. Imagine walking into a pawn shop. Can I hawk this jar? I need $20. What's in the jar? It's my skin from when I was 8 years old. Oh, well. That is valuable. Come on. I went to New York earlier in the week. And some other show, I'll tell you why. Not that you care. I don't think you're totally invested in what I do on a daily basis. I get the feeling I'm not invested in anything that you do whatsoever unless it affects me. So why would you care? It's the way I look at things. I don't care about anything. Why would you? That's why someone's wasting somebody's time here. So I went to New York, and there's a big sign there on the highway in New York, and it said that next week they're going to start taking the exit numbers on the highway and changing them. Like they're going to be doing that every 3 weeks so that you never know what exit you're supposed to get off on. Apparently, there is some type of agency called the Federal Highway Authority or something, association, I don't know. Federal Highway, so the FHWA. And they sometime decided a couple of years back that throughout the entire country, if you have a highway, you have to rename it to confuse all the drivers. I think that was the only purpose. Previously, on the Ron Van Dam Show, you would be driving on the highway and there'd be exit one. And the instructions were to take exit two. Well, after exit one, I would start watching out for exit two. Oh, there it is. Ron, all right, we're at exit two. What exit? Exit five. Okay, so it's not yet. We got three exits to go. Okay. I liked that. I thought that was very efficient. Now, the FAAAAAAWFAHW Association of America decided apparently to change all the exit numbers all across the country so that you knew at any given time how many miles into the state you were. What? What? Yeah, I'm going to get off at exit 33. All right. Have we passed 32? There is no 32. There's only exit 3, exit 10, and exit 33. What happened to the other exits? They blocked them off or something. I don't know. Apparently, the exits have to reflect how many miles it is from the border of the state that you're driving in. Seriously? Are you kidding me? Here's a little clue. On the side of the highway, there are little mile markers. They tell you what mile you are on the side of the highway. Was that not good enough for you? Was that not good enough for the Highway Administration of America? Well, Ron, in case your car breaks down, what if I break your car breaks down? You can tell the authorities exactly where you are. No, because if my car breaks down between exit 2 and exit 33, if there's no exit sign, how do I know where I am? This makes no sense. If there's mile markers on the side of the road every tenth of a mile or every mile or every half a mile, then when I break down, I can see exactly where I am. I can't see exactly where I am when I'm between two exits that are 33 miles apart. Unless I'm under the exit sign and I broke down right at the exit sign, I don't know what mile I'm at. This is so freaking stupid. Let me tell you something here. The economy is not doing really well right now. If you have any money in your budget, why don't you do stuff that will make a difference? Like, save the planet, for example. Invest your money into infrastructure. Infrastructure doesn't mean renaming exits with different numbers. Do you know the cost of new exit signs? A lot of money. You know the cost to the American public in traffic and construction to change the signs? You know the confusion with the GPS systems and all that stuff when you change the exits? Money thrown away for absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of. Changing the exits to reflect what mile you're at. Oh, Lord. If I ever met one of these people from the FWAAAHA, the Federal Highway Association of America, if I ever met one of those people, I'd walk up to them, open the palm of my hand, and give them a smack across the head, and mutter these words, "What the hell is wrong with you people?" Is it the American way to form an inconvenience for no reason whatsoever? Well, Ron, it's to tell you what mile, how many miles in you are from the border. What the hell do I care what the border is about? What? What? From the border? Does my entire life depend on where I am from a border? I mean, what are you talking about? I'm sorry to go on and on about this, but this really pissed me off, and it continues to piss me off. It's an example of stupidity. Oh, there's a lot of examples of stupidity. I don't have to look around too much. There's one there, there's one there, there's one there. It's like pointing out exit signs in a theater or being on an airplane and showing where you should jump out of the plane unless, you know, just in case it's going down. You don't need to point out the exit signs. Can you change the exit signs to lowercase instead of all caps? I think that would be more efficient and just as stupid. So now you screwed up the whole exit system as far as I'm concerned. Now I don't know where the hell I am. Or you're at exit 5. You get off at the next exit. Exit 6? No, exit 33 is the next exit. What? How can 5 and the next one be 33? Well, it's done by miles. Why? Guess what I have on my car? An odometer. It's baked into the dashboard. It's in every car ever manufactured because that's a requirement. If you can't sit in the car and look at the odometer and figure out how far you were from the border, there's something wrong with you for two reasons. One, because you can't add and subtract. And two, because you actually care about that crap. Oh, man. This is nuts. Well, no, if you're at exit 5 and you want to get to exit 33, you know that there's approximately 28 miles between the exits. Oh, that's why. Now I know. That makes no sense. Oh, I just told you why it still makes no sense. Stop fucking with things that are working just fine, okay? I mean, I may not be a millennial or a septennial or a deuteromillennial. I don't know what you call these, Generation P, Generation X, I'm Generation P because I have to pee all the time. I think that should be the new name of my generation. All I know is, before, things were working out just fine. I didn't need no freaking internet. You know what I did? I grabbed a pencil and wrote it down on a piece of paper. Yeah, it worked just fine. There were no problems with that. Ron, don't you find the internet more convenient and more educational? No, it's a pain in the ass, and it's destroying society as we know it all throughout the world. Here's something that was comforting. You know, the economy in the United States is not great. Prices are going up like crazy. Inflation is just ridiculous. Apparently, avocados cost twice as much as they did before. Well, if you live in California or Mexico, that can be a considerable problem. Otherwise, not so much. If I don't have an avocado for a couple of weeks, I survive really well. Anyway, yeah, prices are high and all that stuff. And then they say, well, you know, this is a global problem. There's inflation throughout the globe. Oh, now I feel better. Thank you. You know, it's really hot where I live. It was like 100 degrees yesterday. It really was. Oh, Ron, don't worry about it. In Spain, people are dying because there's a heat wave there, too, and they don't even have air conditioning. And in England, they don't. Their, you know, temperatures are like in the 90s for like, since July 10th, it's been over 90 every day. Oh, okay, now I feel better. Thank you. I feel better now. Thank you. Thought it was just me that was dying in the heat. No, it's everybody. Oh, okay, then that's, if it's everybody, then that, okay, now that's, a, oh, okay, that's okay. I didn't know that. That's okay. No, it's not okay. It means something's wrong. Of course, there'll be those climate change deniers that say, no, it gets hot every year and it gets cold every year. And if it's global warming, then why is it so freaking cold in the winter? Okay, apparently you're a moron because that's not what we're talking about and that's not what happens. It means that everything becomes more extreme. storms are more deadly, floods are more extensive and more frequent. It doesn't rain so much anymore. The polar ice caps are melting, which is causing oceans to rise, which makes a difference when you're living near an ocean. It's getting way too hot. It's taxing our economic system. People are dying all over the world. Oh, I've got an idea. Let's change the exit numbers.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That would make everything better.
Ladies and gentlemen, they walk amongst us. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, my guest will join. But before that, well...
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified high-quality shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek the. I'm not just your local jeweler, I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Stephen Mesnick joins us now. He's general manager at U.S. Broadband, Viasat Incorporated. It's a global communications company. And we're talking about internet, how it should be available to all. Stephen, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I'll give you the number. There are 42 million Americans that do not have access to high-speed internet.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people. They're not babies or infants. These are viable people who should be having high-speed internet. And are these specifically people that are in rural areas, places in the country where you can't receive it, or is it an economical situation as well?
It's actually both. There's definitely higher numbers of people in more rural areas, but I'll tell you the digital divide is, I like to call it, occurs everywhere, right? It could be urban, suburban, right, rural, and it happens especially for more poor, elderly, persons with disabilities. These members of society are called falling further and further behind because they do not have access to high-speed internet either because of where they live or because they cannot afford it.
Okay. Here's what I don't understand is you can get satellite television anywhere in the world directly. You don't need cell towers and things like that. Yet that's not the case with internet. Is that true?
So with satellite internet, yes. So Viasat, we're a company that's been around for 35 years. We provide connectivity to the hardest to reach places, but just anywhere that you can see the sky, largely you can get internet access. Yeah. Via Viasat. The difference is your traditional cable fiber companies, right? If they don't choose to put fiber or cable in your neighborhood, then you don't have access to it. There's nothing you can do.
Right. Why wouldn't everybody be on satellite internet? Because that seems like, the most logical thing to do.
Right. We would love for everyone, but you know what? We have limitations, too. We launch satellites as fast as we can.
Uh-huh.
We have four up in space right now, and we're going to build three more in the next few years. So it's a limitation on how fast can we build satellites for folks to have access to internet. But you know what? Other services, cable, fiber, if you can get them, those are great, too. We really focus on bridging that divide of people who don't have access to those, I'll call it, traditional forms of internet service.
Yeah. Now, what if you do have... this internet service, the cable, the Fios, whatever the hell that is. And then you travel to a part of the country where there are no cell towers. Are you out of luck?
So with Viasat, we really focus on service for the home, right? So when you're in your home, but I'll tell you, the pandemic over the last few years, many people left those, very dense urban areas and wanted to be out away from many folks. And so that's been an area where now we realize that people need connectivity out in those more rural areas where they don't have the traditional cable or fiber.
Well, that would be the ultimate Wi-Fi hotspot, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Makes sense to me. What about economically, cost-wise, that kind of thing? Is there a benefit there?
Yeah, so there's Viasat really realized that, look, just being able to access the service isn't good enough if people can't afford it.
Yeah.
So we try to make our plans as cost-effective as possible. So we have plans now, our new choice plan, starting at $50 a month for 25 megabits per second internet, which is fast enough to do almost everything you need.
Yeah.
And then we've also partnered with our government for the it's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, where folks who are have a certain income level, generally it's about two times the poverty line, right, now have access to the Affordable Connectivity Program, where the service will go down to $20 a month. You'll get a $30 subsidy from the government. And so we think at $20 a month, we've now made broadband affordable for many, many people throughout the country.
Yeah. You know what's scary, Steve, is that you can't live without it. I mean, you can, but your life's going to be different. There comes a point where you can't even make a financial transaction without internet. It's just, it's a little scary in that sense, how we depend upon that technology, but it also means that you got to have it.
Yeah, especially for education now. We saw this during the pandemic, just to keep in touch with loved ones, but kids were not able to go to school, right, without having high-speed internet. And that really put a spotlight on the digital divide.
Yeah. I mean, well, society is moving in that direction anyway, and I don't think you can stop it. So I'm glad that you guys have stepped to the front and tried to make this as equal as possible for everybody. It's almost become a right in the Constitution to have high-speed internet. I laugh, but it's probably the case.
It's become a water, electricity, and broadband in the home. Those are the kind of becoming three essentials.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let's say I'm a person who's not able to get a good internet, or perhaps I live in an area that isn't available, whatever. Who do I call? What do I do?
Yeah, so you can either, if you can go online, whether it's through your phone, you can go to Viasat /internet. Or if you're someone who just wants to call up and talk to a person, right, you can call up at 833-5-VIASAT. That's 833-5, Viasat, V-I-A-S-A-T.
And you can talk to a person?
You can actually talk to a human being.
Get out of here, Steve. Are you serious? Because that's like hasn't happened to me in a long time.
Yeah, we try to cater to those those into the technology and those who just like a traditional human being interaction.
You know, I've often said, even on this program, if I can find a company where I call and I can actually speak to a person and resolve by having conversation, I will switch to that company in a second. I don't care what their product is. I'm serious. That's wonderful. Thank you for saying that. Maybe someone else will appreciate that as well. Okay, I'm going to spell the name of the company so they can Google and all that kind of stuff. It's V-I-A-S-A-T, and of course that's Viasat.com. And I mean, thanks for providing that service. It's kind of more than just a business. It's kind of enforcing human rights at this point.
Yeah, no, I feel good working for a company where we're providing something that's so important to people, and it really makes their lives better.
Excellent.
Right? It makes you want to get up in the morning.
Yes, it does. There's not much else that I can think of that would. What do you do when you get up in the morning? What's the first thing you do?
Well, this morning I like to do, to talk to you, but generally get up and try to get my kids ready for school, get them out the door so they're on time.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, a real human being. Hey, Steve, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been so Wonderful. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't listen to this crap. So you are amazing. I'm going to come over here. Give me your forehead. I'm going to put a gold star on your head. And then you can walk around all day and show people how intelligent you are. How intelligent do you think you really look walking around all day with a gold star on your head? It makes you look not intelligent, but like an idiot. That's what they did in grade school. If I did something really well, they put a gold star on my forehead like I was celebrating some kind of strange holiday or something, you know. Ash Wednesday, this would be like Gold Star Friday or something. And I'd walk around all day proud that I had a gold star on my head. Look what I have on my head. I was good today. I have a gold star. Don't talk to that person. That person is not well. Walking around with a gold star on the forehead. What religion is that? Oh, I don't know. But definitely stay away from that person. There's something wrong with them. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until then, I wish you peace.